Welcome back to another episode of FC Tokyo Kai Guys Radio. I am your host, Tom Spennington, and alongside with me is Alex Bishop. We had our opening fixture, Alex, which I don't know. I don't know what to say about this because, you know, every time we play Frontale, it's always a bad day at the office. But I don't think we can say that about this game. You know, we obviously with a second part of our episode tonight, we do go into more detail with our special guest. Thank you to Mr. Frontale Rabbit Neil for joining us and dissecting the game and among other topics of discussion from that from that day. But Alex, I just want to know, what, you know, let's start off on our own opinions here. What were your thoughts on the game?
No, it's it's first of all, it's great to be back doing this, Tom, on the Kai mm-hmm. radio. No, well, for me it was brilliant. You know, the result does not tell the full story of what transpired for us, I think. Positives all over the place. I think everybody, all of our players had a good game, pretty much to a man. You know, it's hard to pick many faults. And it was just a kind of somewhat, I don't know. I mean, Leandro Damião is always going to do it to us, right? He's a pretty ferocious player, but, you know, you have
to be.
It
seems that whenever Tokyo and Frontale play, Leandro does something good.
He's involved.
Doesn't matter for which side.
He's a nightmare to handle. But, yeah, you know, you can call it lucky, but you've got to be in the right places at the right time. But not very, very positive for me. A great start to the season and a great start to the Puig or Pucci, the Pucci era.
Pucci era.
That's the one.
Yeah, it's weird we say that, right? Like, you know, we lost 1-0, and normally we'd be seething at that. You know, we lost the Frontale, who were just coming off of their somewhat surprising defeat, I guess some might say, to Urawa in the Super Cup. I think they took it to us for the first 10 minutes, and then after that, somehow, we just settled down. You know, all of our the debuts that we had from defense upwards, Matsuki, shocking inclusion in the starting 11, in my opinion. He did not really look out of it, to be honest with you. I thought he had a great game. You know, we had some questionable positioning in the for that first 10 minutes. But after that, it seemed like Frontale just wanted to, like, sit back and let us take the game to them, which we were happy to do. But we just couldn't make any goals out of it, unfortunately, for the guys. Honestly, I was really, really surprised by how we played. I think there's a lot of positives more than the negatives of that. I think the goal that we conceded was a little bit cheap. But as you say, you know, Leandro Damião is going to do that to you. He's that kind of quality player. And unfortunately, you know, we didn't have anybody able to clear that ball. But, you know, those are the breaks. Those are the fine margins in some games. But
No, I was just going to say, I mean, it was, yeah. I think I speak for most of us in the FC Tokyo fan community. It's probably one of the most kind of, you know, positive performances that leaves us optimistic. Certainly that I've ever seen since following the club back in 2014. Very front footed, very organized, always on the attack, putting together passes more than three. Success.
I know. I was honestly just thinking that. Like, do you remember? You remember when we would go to a game with Scott, and you'd hear Scott like this is especially during the Hasegawa era. Scott was like, oh look, here we go again. All right, Diego, Nagai, 1-2. Oh look, they lost the ball again. Oh okay, wait, Higashi's got it. Higashi, 1-2. Oh, they lost the ball again. Couldn't string more than three passes together again. You know, mind you, Scott being the color commentator that he was didn't help matters, but. It was amazing to watch. I think there was one sequence where we had like six or seven quality passes that resulted in Diego forcing a fine save out of them. Yeah. You know, that was unheard of in Hasegawa's era.
No. Yeah, I mean, it was all just counterattack, right? Just kind of like long balls over the top, whoever's in space. And of course, you know, whenever we'd score, it'd be the defense, the opposing defense would be pretty unstable at the time. So, I don't want to say easy, but, you know, that was how we used to score goals, right? They were never crafted. That wasn't the attempt on Friday night. So positives all around. Like you said, the first 10 minutes or so we were a bit shaky. The whole system was still kind of like finding its feet. They were finding a lot of space in the wide areas in behind our wing backs. Of course, you know, they now push up very high up the pitch. Watanabe on the right, and it's Ogawa, right? Could be Nagatomo, but it was Ogawa on the night. He's a little bit more used to it, by the way. I think it was more Watanabe's sand side that was a bit more exposed. Mm-hmm. But that's going to happen, you know. The idea is that we're going to be attacking and score more than the opponent. But, yeah, I mean, it's great to see an ideology, right? A kind of identity.
I mean, I think you're spot on with that. Watching Hasegawa ball using another Scott reference, dinosaur ball, you know, watching that for the couple of years that we did, I think there were bright spots here and there, but there was never really like, you know, you would expect one result for one week and a completely different team would show up. And it would be the same 11 week in, week out. I don't think we saw Albert's desired 11. You know, obviously, Adalton wasn't in the 11 or on the bench. Morishige, our captain, not on the bench either or in the 11. And obviously, you know, the cases of COVID spiking through Tokyo at the time, you know, resulted in that. So I'd be interested to see where he takes this team, because there are a lot of people who made a good name for themselves at the weekend. And I think with Morishige coming back into the squad, whenever that is, you know, it'll make for a really, really good competition within the squad, which I don't think we've had for a while.
No, yeah, for sure. It's going to push a few people. By the way, I think there was a few players that kind of might not have been in the squad on Friday night had everybody been fit, in quotations.
Agreed.
That may actually make a case for actually starting ahead of the players that they've come in for. I think Nagai is one. Yep, yeah, he came in over Adalton, I think, and he made a really good case as to why, you know, he might be a bit closer to cementing a place in Albert's lineup. Even Aoki had a good game, right? The CDM position, it seems, I haven't looked at it properly, but it seems to be quite, it has quite a few attacking responsibilities to it as well, because I think Aoki had a couple of shots on goal, albeit from range, but I think he was getting forward much more than he used to last season under Hasegawa, and he didn't look too uncomfortable either. So
that's the other thing. It's like, how often did you see Ogawa go bombing down into the attacking third and leave the defense exposed? It didn't happen. It like I was actually looking for that all game. You know, I didn't see it happen. I think you're spot on with Nagai as well, right? Like, that didn't look like Hasegawa Nagai. That was a very different Kensuke Nagai than we were used to the past couple of seasons. Diego as well was also his. I think the Diego we saw was the usual Diego in how he would draw attention to him. You know, where he would like suck in some players because everybody knows of the quality that he's got. So, you know, by dragging a defender here or there, you've opened up suddenly Nagai. You've opened up Leandro. With his flashy new hairstyle and whatnot, you know, it was a very, very team-oriented display, I think, versus Frontale. It definitely deserved at least a goal or two, but it's not often you talk about positives after a 1-0 loss to a team like Frontale, but yeah, I'll definitely take that.
Yeah, I think it's just got us excited. Like, what's ahead, right? I mean, first game of the season, we're playing the champions, we're riddled with Corona, and we put on a display like that. It just shows that it's, you know, whatever it is, the new system, the motivation, there's a spring in our step now, right? I think it's just going all the way through the squad and onwards and upwards, man. So it's
speaking of Corona, the unfortunate news that's come out from the club that. How many was it? I think it's 7 total now.
Sure. You know,
it's resulted in the cancellation of the postponement of the game on Wednesday, which is heartbreaking to me because I was really looking forward to finally going to a game again.
Yeah.
Saturday's league opener is canceled again. I mean, it's deja vu 2020 at this point for us.
I've got a few notes that have taken from the what's come from the official sources.
Oh, okay. Go on.
Just go through, you know, so the listeners can kind of see what's been coming out of the club. Yeah, so Sunday, there were 9 positive cases returned, 7 players and 2 playing staff, right?
Okay.
Yeah, 4 of the players are asymptomatic, seem to be fine. They've just got to go and do their self-isolation and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And then 3 are showing symptoms. So they've been a little bit sick. Might take them a little bit more time to kind of recover. One of the staff is asymptomatic and 1 is showing symptoms.
Okay.
So, yeah, the club's saying that they've postponed all activities for, I think it's a total of 7 days, 1 week from that Sunday. So that's going to cover the
Wednesday game, the Saturday.
Yeah, the Wednesday game we had tickets to, right? That's off for now. And then Saturday at home, the opening, the first home game of the J-League 2022 season, that's postponed as well. So, and there's also going to be question marks about the following week where there's a weeknight game against Fukuoka in the cup and then Cerezo.
Makes sense.
Way. Yeah. So, I mean, everybody's got to get back healthy and get back fit. It takes time, right? We had a case in the Women's Asian Cup with the Japan national team, Nadeshiko Mane.
Oh, yeah. Who is that? Mana, right?
It was in India, right? So when she arrived in India, right. She took a test at the airport. The test returned positive. She had no symptoms at all, but had to go and sit in the hotel for like, I forget what it was. It was like 8 or 9 days. Basically missed the group stage, but came straight back out and then could train with the team and could go right back in as soon as she could return the negative test. So for these 4 players, it's probably going to be one of those situations where as soon as they can test negative, they can come back and start training and stuff. And this, yeah, unfortunately, this is in addition to the 3 positive tests that were returned on Thursday of last week, just before the opener against Kawasaki.
The 7 that were confirmed on Sunday plus the additional 3.
Yeah, plus these 3, right? So of this 3, there's 2 players and 1 staff. The 2 players, 1 is asymptomatic, 1 is showing symptoms.
Mm.
And this was on Thursday last week. So a total of 9 players testing positive. Which is why I think the club's in this situation. They've had to call the games off, as you might imagine, right? You don't know who they'll never release who the players are. We can guess.
No.
Yeah.
I mean, it's pretty obvious when you look at the Frontale lineup, when you see Adalton missing, you see Morishige missing. Unfortunately, you also see Higashi missing, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, it seemed pretty obvious. And obviously we don't wish ill on any of the players, and we do hope that they recover well, but it seemed pretty obvious that those were the 3 that were confirmed positives.
I mean, it's a process of elimination, right? You just have a look
exactly.
He would be on the bench, but it's tough, man. I think, you know, if you're getting if there's a load of players coming down with corona, it's very difficult to continue the games, because what if all the players play in like similar positions, right? Or what if all of your defenders have been wiped out? Then you've got to, you know, you may as well throw the games and stuff. So,
Also, like, you know, the toll it takes on your body. Like, you know, people commonly complain that COVID really just physically drains you. You know, like you just lose like your breath quite easily and things like that. And, you know, we don't know how that's going to affect an athlete's performance. But I think we saw with some cases that of Gamba last season. When they had their outbreak, some of their players just were not the same after that. And I think that's just an unfortunate side effect of contracting the disease.
Absolutely. I mean, we hear that Omicron is not quite as bad as the previous variants, right? Like Delta and all that kind of stuff.
Not as bad, but more contagious, I guess you could say.
Yeah, it's going to get around a lot more, right?
Yeah.
And unfortunately, football is a event where the participants have to be fit for it to go ahead. So,
So we can expect a couple of Frontale complaints coming our way should more of their players test positive in the coming days, assuming that is the case. But looking at the schedule ahead here, like I see us having a little bit of a break after the first 2 group stage games. You know, we've got the Hiroshima and then after that, the Kyoto Sanga game, and then, you know, it's like 1 week games after that. So I think we'll see a couple of rearrangements there if possible, because I think the group stage comes at us quite fast with regards to the Levain Cup. You know, we've finished that. I think that's finished by May.
Sure.
Or something like that. I think it's like by mid-May, the whole group stage is finished. So that game needs to be made up as fast as possible. And the only place I see that happening is in March.
You reckon, yeah?
Oh, yeah. It has to be. Like, you know, I'm looking at April's schedule right now, and I'm looking at, like, you know, we play Marinos away on a Saturday, then it's Kobe in the league on Wednesday, Urawa on the Sunday, then it's Shonan match day 4 in the League Cup, then it's the 16th Saturday versus Sapporo. You know, there it's just nonstop. There's no way that we can squeeze in a game there.
So what's this one in April? We play Sapporo on the 16th, and then we don't play again until we play Gamba.
23rd.
29th,
26th. No, the 23rd. 23rd, we've got a game.
We do?
23rd is group stage 5 against Iwata.
All right, they'll have to fit in like a week.
There has to be two games squeezed in. I think the league game can be, you know, it's a little bit more flexible. But with regards to the group stage, I think that one has to be squeezed in somewhere around like the 16th or 23rd of March. Is my guess.
They need to get that one done, right?
Yeah. So that's my opinion there. I mean, obviously, you know, we wish all the players the best in their recovery, and hopefully that will come back stronger. And you know, yeah, as we mentioned on the players' quality that we saw versus Frontale, it's good for competition.
Yeah, maybe put a positive spin on it. I agree.
was that an intentional statement?
A bit of competition within the squad, you know, it could be. But yeah, no, it's just a reminder that we're not out the woods yet, and it's not a token at all. I think, you know, we could see a little bit more of this up and down the league. Yep. I know that the basketball league, the B League, they had a massive one with, I think it was the Chiba Jets. Like, there was like 6 positive.
Fellow Mixi owned firm.
Yeah. Yeah, oh yeah, there might be something, a relation there. No, but they had a few positive cases, and then, of course, everybody else within the team was a close contact, right? So they had a load of games had to be called off, and so it's still, you know, in Japan, they're always a little bit behind with, like, the third shot, right? They're always a little bit behind with the corona prevention measures compared to the rest of the world, so I wouldn't be surprised if we see a little bit more of this in the J-League.
Yeah, and you know, I every time we seem to think that we're going to turn a corner, then, you know, something pops up like this. So, you know, I think it's important to remember that, you know, we're not out of the woods yet, and you know, we still need to take all the precautions possible.
Right. True.
Yeah, and I forgot to say this at the start of the of the podcast, but I want to give a special shout out to Mr. Kawasaki Wataru of FC Tokyo. The man is a legend to me. He actually helped out my my socio card, because the club made a mistake on my socio ticket. I know I've complained to you about this, but the man reached out to me, and, you know, I told him my situation, where, you know, my daughter's ticket was already guaranteed regardless of the game, and my ticket was in the quote unquote refund procedure, despite I asked for both to be under the same. The man took it upon himself. He said, like, all right, listen, I'll sort it out. Have you already got tickets for the games that have been just called off? And I said, yes, but that doesn't matter. Like, you know what? We'll keep those as they are. He goes, all right, from next game on, from Hiroshima onwards, bam, these are your tickets. You're sat together. Everything's great. And I thought, I mean, you know, I was complaining about it to begin with, but the fact he went above and beyond like that literally took 12 hours, I think. Like I think I messaged him on a Friday, and he got back to me the same night. Saturday morning, everything was resolved.
Awesome.
So special shout out to him for that one. And
he seems like a decent bloke. I still don't quite get the exact issue with the tickets, because it's quite complicated these days. But
Tokyo did this really bizarre setup for the socio ticket this year. If you bought a socio ticket, you had two options. One option was called the guaranteed seat, and then the other one was called the refund. Now, what the refund meant is that if in the event a game is at reduced capacity, i.e. the game versus Nagoya or the game for the League Cup that was scheduled for tomorrow against Iwata, those games were set at a capacity of 20,000. If you had a refund ticket, you were not allowed to go to the game. You had to buy a ticket. If you were given the guaranteed ticket, then you would look into your socio ticket and you'd have like a little, you know, a number on your ticket, and that would guarantee your seat. So for those 50% capacity games, you would be sitting in this seat. If it was set at a 10,000 capacity limit, you would be sitting at this seat. It's slightly overly complex, in my opinion. But, you know, if you wanted to go see the game and you're adamant to go to see every game as much as possible without, you know, wanting to do the refund, you do the guaranteed seat, you're guaranteed to go to every game. Whereas the refund option, you know, you would have had to buy a game for the Iwata ticket. You'd have to buy the Iwata ticket. You'd have to buy a Nagoya ticket. You'd have to buy every game that's set at reduced. And you don't know, you know, we don't know ahead of time which games those are going to be until they announce it. So, mm-hmm. you know, for some social, it was overly complex, I think. In my case, I said, just give me two guaranteed tickets. And then I registered both mine and my daughter's in the, around the same time. And they said, yeah, okay, it's fine. We'll give you the, we'll give you those tickets. And they gave my daughter the pre-allocated seat. And then they gave me the refund ticket. And I was like, hang on a minute. This is no, this is the one I asked for. Like, it, like they ask you a question. Do you wish to decline a refund in the event you don't get a ticket? And I'm like, yes, please give me guaranteed seat. Okay. And then it's like, what is your social ticket? Your social ticket is refund. So yeah, it was a pain in the ass to deal with, but glad that it's sorted out now, and a lot of that is due to Mr. Kausak-san. So thank you to him for sorting that out for me. On that note, I guess we'll move into the second part of our chat today, where we'll bring in Mr. Frontale Rabbit after a quick little break, and we'll be back with him.
Cool. Looking forward to the lovely tones of Neil Debnam.
Okay, we are here with our special guest, the one that we hyped up from episode one. Mr. Frontale Rabbit has kindly decided to join us to dissect the game that we saw on Friday night. Obviously, you know, his side of things is looking a little bit better given the result. You know, he's got the 3 points in the bag there. We're very bitter about how that game ended up. But Neil, welcome. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much for having me. Yeah, I realize I'm in the danger zone here in enemy territory. So,
every article we read, you call us FC Chofu. So, you know, yeah, definitely enemy territory here.
I'm glad you noticed.
You and Ajinomoto.
Because I went through the blog post today, ensuring that every single mention was as Chofu, because I knew I was coming on, so all in fun anyway. I like meeting you, and I like meeting rival fans, and it's fun to meet up and have a drink together and have a chat and have a laugh. But I'm worried that sometimes people take things a bit too seriously and then I get told off. So
yeah, I think it's important that, like, people who are listening to this know that, you know, I mean, every game that we've come to, like, whether it's at Todoroki or at Ajinomoto, we always try and make arrangements to have a pint, you know. It was unfortunate. I think the what was it, the 2021 edition, I think your train was delayed on that one.
Oh god, yeah. I had to walk from, where did I walk from, like Meidai Mai. I walked like three stops along the Keio line,
yeah,
because someone had jumped or something. So yeah, that slightly delayed things, but next year definitely.
Final
I'm already blowing you out for 2020.
Yeah, Neil, I was going to arrange to, you know, meet for a pint, but it was too cold on Friday night. I was actually there at the game myself, you know, but it was a bit of a cold one, right? And I just kind of jumped straight home. So
yeah, it was
dodged
shocking.
Everybody, Alex.
No, I never. It was a late one, man. Good game.
It's a late one. It's a Tamagawa Classico. I guarantee you, if I was there, it would have been a mess. It would have ended up in, like, Shimo.
But we've got Mambo at the moment anyway. So after the game, everything's finished, isn't it? So
we had to
preload, as that, I think they say. We were preloading before the game. Right. And then I don't think I loaded during the game. I think I was already loaded enough. So.
It's too hard on mine, because it was, well, the kickoff was at 7, and then if you've got to come across town if you're working, living in Tokyo, right? It's a bit hard to kind of, you know, get there on time for a good bit of drinking and whatnot.
Friday night. Yeah, it was I mean, I took the day off. It was my daughter's birthday, so I was at Disneyland for most of it. And like, I ended up in a restaurant for kickoff. So I was like, I had it on my phone. So I'm watching on my phone while I'm like having dinner and just like, all right, first 10 minutes. I'm like, yeah, all right. Can I get like a die jockey, please? I'm going to need it for this game. But luckily it didn't turn out that way. So what were your thoughts, Neil? What were your thoughts on the performance of the game? Like, this is your, you know, you've seen Frontale play in the Super Cup. You know, unfortunate result for you there.
For Frontale, a fortunate result for everybody else in Japan. Yeah.
So
I think Kashima fans were cheering on Urawa, probably.
You know, I was more concerned if you guys won that game. Were you going to put another star on your kit before the league game?
It's too late. The orders are in.
So what did you think of the game? Like, you know, it started out quite like every other Tamagawa Classic in years, but you know, we kind of build ourselves into it, and I thought like we were the better team on the whole. Yeah, I'm curious to know what did you think of the game?
I mean, as much as I want to,
it's a kids show, so I will remind you on the language.
No, as much as I would like to completely deny everything you said, I think it was pretty spot on. I saw an article, I think it was the J League English match report, said Frontale comfortably opened their season with a comfortable win, and I thought, I don't think that person watched the game.
Yeah, but, I mean, because
it certainly wasn't comfortable for me.
Yeah, those are the same guys that said like the Kenta Hasegawa era at Nagoya is off to a blistering start, and it's like they played against Kobe for like 10, who had 10 men for like what, like 60 plus minutes or something, and they only won 2-0.
Right. I mean, yeah, it wasn't a great game for us, that's for sure. I mean, I don't know if it was probably a step up from the Super Cup, because in the Super Cup we had 0 good minutes, and in this game we had 10. So I'm hoping for 20 on Wednesday, again, away at Marinos. I mean, that could be enough. And then next weekend at Kashima, 30 good minutes. So I just feel sorry for the team we're going to play ninth, yeah, because they're going to, we're going to have 90 good minutes, but then by then we probably won't have any defenders. So 90 good minutes attacking in our new 0-0-6-4 formation, maybe. So
that's pretty good. That's a pretty decent formation.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, there's a few teams who are probably going for that kind of idea, but yeah, it might be beyond our abilities to go with any other formations soon.
Is it because of the reinforcements in the summer haven't been up to what you'd expect, or what's happened there?
It's just Oniki just doesn't want to sign any defenders. That's what it is. I feel like for the last 3 or 4 winters, I've been saying, whew, we just about got away with that. We really need to get some reinforcements in defence in the off season. And we never do. So, I mean, he's a converter. Mm. So he likes to convert midfielders usually into other positions, which is good, because we've got like about 95% of our squad I don't know what the metric equivalent would be, but like 5'5" attacking midfielders. It makes up about 90% of our squad. So it's good if we can change some of those into towering centre backs, like stack heels or something. I don't know. But yeah, I don't know why we haven't got any defenders, especially considering Jesse L got serious injury at the end of last season. And then now we've got another serious defensive injury thanks to that, the unmentionable guy who I don't like doing a judo throw with our poor Kudamaya.
Oh,
the brute.
It's not that's not the special bearded one we're referring to here, right?
It is.
And she's sporting a nice high top now, right? The new hairdo.
Yeah, I did like that.
I don't know if you've seen that movie House Party from back in the 90s.
Kidding play, is that?
It looked like one of them. If you want to have a little Google that movie and you look, it's a very similar kind of dude, right? I don't know, I'm all for it. But could remind you, how long is the injury? Do you know? Has anything come through? It never does, right, in Japan? But...
No, it doesn't. Yeah. All we know is he went to hospital afterwards. So I think because he landed on his elbow, but I think it's his shoulder is done. Right. And if you go to hospital for that, I mean, I broke my shoulder sleepwalking about.
That's a story in its own right. We're going to have to 13
years ago,
gonna
yeah.
go into that.
Well, that's a Patreon special right there, man.
When we asked the question about the injury, I did not expect a sleepwalking story about how I broke my shoulder.
So I mean, he wasn't sleepwalking with Kurumaya, but he was indulging. Maybe his opponent was indulging in a sport that has different rules to football.
Right. That's I'll tell you one thing, Neil. I remember the Clásico. When was it, Tom? We were there. First game of the season again. I thought with the.
I know.
2019.
Yeah. Two red cards. We're still a little bit bitter about. Is he takes Diego down double footed challenge? If I'm not mistaken.
And then
he kung fu kicks. Was it Na Sang-ho, the Korean forward?
It was.
Head.
Yep. It was. Yeah.
Yep. Kick to the head.
I remember it well.
Oh, unbelievable. Man, if we had the end, it probably still wouldn't have done anything because it's useless, right? But yeah.
So no, I remember that.
Yeah. I think we need even now.
In Nara's defense, which is always where the position I stand in, even though he's left us, so I'm still defending him. In his defense, he was at least trying to kick the ball and just the guy's head got in the way. But yeah.
How convenient.
Kid and play. I don't know which one of kid or play Leandro is, but kid or play.
Leandro was just shadow boxing, you know. He didn't mean to connect with the guy's face. He was practicing for his next goal, and you know, he's doing like the Wayne Rooney, right? He was just, you know, giving the couple shots there, and then just so happened that a player was in his vicinity.
I mean, to get all my Leandro stuff out the way now, I thought his yellow, you know, people say, oh, he got a yellow, but it could have been a red. I think when Leandro got his yellow, I think he could have got three yellows in the same move. It was amazing. It was like the real Leandro Damian was breaking, and Leandro kind of failed him to stop the attack, then kicked him in the crackers, I think is the phrase, kicked him in the crackers as he was going down, and then feigned an elbow. It was like this guy's, it's dark arts. He's amazing in that respect. But I'm a bit scared. Does he listen to this? He might do, mightn't he?
Don't know, Tom.
You know what? It wouldn't surprise me if he does. I mean, given your history with him, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if he does listen into this one. So if he is listening, hello, Leandro. Thank you for listening. Yeah.
He's social media, right? So there's always a chance.
Well, let's not forget his famous exchange with Neil on Twitter once. That was legendary.
Yeah, to be honest, that made me feel a bit guilty because he was right. I didn't know what I was talking about. But I don't know much in. Let's just shut up.
Move it along, Tom.
Right, moving on then. So okay, obviously, you know, our big frustrating point was the goal that was not given for us, that Nagai somehow miraculously headed on target. The last time I saw Nagai do a header was when he was all alone in front of goal in 2018. You know, he chipped the Marino's goalkeeper at the time, and all he had to do was tap it into the open net, and he decided to head it over the bar. You know, that's my image of Nagai with his heading skills. And he powered this one through, and, like, you know, it gets called back. I don't even think VAR really took a look at it.
No, that was my big thing. I mean, I'm not saying it was on or offside, but, like, the decision came kind of quick. They didn't get the lines out like we see, you know, where they get the 3D graphics and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But it just seemed to be concluded quite quickly, you know?
Who was the Frontale player? Like, was it Chanatip, I think? Chanatip was the guy that was, like, laying down?
Yeah, the whole case is based on Chanatip being on the floor, right? And his shoulder.
Yeah, and I think it was called offside because Nagai's arm was, like, flailing, you know, obviously in an offside position.
I don't think they're quite up to speed, as we've seen in other games this weekend, the VAR, with what's going on.
Well, shout out to Patrick Agamba with a great red card there. That was phenomenal.
Yeah, against Anders again, eh, Neil?
And we might add, I know we're getting off topic, it's not our game, but my God, the commentator saying, like, oh, that was a horrible elbow. It's like, oh, wait, what are you saying?
I mean, I don't want to bash ex-Frontale player Patrick, but he does get a bit handy with the elbows occasionally, doesn't he? So, I mean,
he took out teeth last season, Tom.
Who's that?
When Joanne Omari, the Lebanese.
Yeah. He took out his teeth. Yeah, I remember that.
It wasn't a foul for some reason. I don't know why, because he was already kind of heading the ball or whatever. But it was Patrick who caught him with the elbow.
Yeah, I remember that. I think Omari lost two teeth in that one.
He did. He wasn't happy at all.
No, I don't blame him. I mean, he lost his teeth.
It's quite a nice experience going to the dentist in Japan now, I think, compared to the UK.
Yeah, I'm sure.
So, I mean, I'd rather, if I was going to get two teeth knocked out, I'd rather it happened here.
I mean, I don't know what the experience like is in the UK, but, you know, I guess. I think the dentists aren't even really classified as doctors here, but, you know, again, that's all.
Yeah,
I know they don't put a towel. They put a towel on my face here, and it's like,
yeah, they do that.
Quite relaxing. Anyway,
this is so off topic.
Right, yeah, back to the game at hand. So what do you think? So, yeah, I mean, the goal, Neil, I thought that the goal was actually, you know, the first 10 minutes, Tokyo were kind of, we didn't really know what to do. The new system was kind of finding its feet a little bit. Kawasaki were getting the better of us through the wide areas especially. But, yeah, as we kind of took control of the game, I thought we were looking a lot better. And then the goal came kind of against the run of play, is what I'd say. I don't know if you agree with that. Personally, yeah, it was a very well-taken header with Damião. I've looked at it again, and it's our new Brazilian centre-back, Trevisan, was supposed to be marking Damião. Damião's an absolute nuisance in the box, right? He can lose his man very quickly. He's very physical. He knows exactly where to move. And, yeah, he came in close. The corner was played close. A beautiful lobbing header right into the far corner, right past Slovic. Two errors on our part. First, Trevisan for not tracking his man and for not tracking Damião properly, and then we've kind of moved away from putting men on the posts when there's set pieces in corners. So, you know, there's no one on the post. I think if someone was on the far post, they might have headed that clear, but obviously that didn't happen, and then we go behind, much to our frustration. But I thought, you know, there was a lot of you have to have a bit of quality in your side to be able to do that, right? To come from nowhere to kind of nick a goal, as it seemed at the time. But I don't know, what were your thoughts at that point in the game? Was it kind of like a bit of a relief? Did you feel it was coming, or against the run of play, or not? Or how was your thoughts?
It was a huge relief. and I think we looked a bit better or a little bit crazier, a little bit like there was more happening after we made our subs, because we've got a lot of established players who are doing pretty much nothing as far as I can see so far this year in our two games. And people don't like to complain about them too much, but I think there's a lot of big names who look like they're tired, or maybe they're 1 year too old, or they were away with the national teams and a bit out of that wouldn't make them out of shape, would it? Missed some kind of preseason coaching or something.
We've got a problem with Nagatomo. Not a problem, but Nagatomo was with the national team.
I was going to say, I think that's why Nagatomo was in the starting 11.
In our case, it's a bit more difficult because we have the new system with the new manager, right? It's a very, very polarizing way of playing, a very, very different game plan. And Nagatomo wasn't there. He's with the national team, so he hasn't trained in anything. He doesn't know the system or what he's supposed to do, so he can't play yet, right? And, yeah, I don't know. If you've got some national team players at the moment, they might not be up to speed if there's going to be kind of radical change in game plan, I think.
Yeah, but no changes in our game plan. We're just still going with the same plan A. But we've just got the defense is total mess at the moment. Now we've got another injury there. I say a total mess, but it's not a disaster. But it just there's nothing. Things aren't quite working now. But I don't know where am I going with this. I don't know. Honestly, we haven't got a new system.
Like in the two games that I've watched from Tad, like the Super Cup game and then and this one, I don't know. Something just seems a little bit disjointed. Like, and you know, both. I mean, Tokyo were guilty of it too. Like in giving the ball away cheaply, but it was just so bizarre to see it coming from Frontale the way that it was. Like, you know, we'd be gaining the ball in midfield, and then you'd see like six or seven passes strung together, and you think like, that's not the FC Tokyo I'm used to seeing. Like, you know, Hasegawa wants us to kick the ball up the field and chase after it, right? Like that's what we're used to seeing. And I think it was quite strange to see with the way that the Frontale were set up. You know, they just never really got anything going comfortably after, like, you know, the first 10 minutes, you know, you guys really had control of the game and it looked like you were going to score three goals easy on us, which, you know, would be par for the course in recent seasons. But after that 10 minutes, suddenly, you know, our defense kind of calmed down. Midfield was able to get into the game and you guys just really, and honestly, in my opinion anyway, you guys just gave us the ball. Like, I don't know why it was, but it was just you were content to just like give us the ball and then let us hit you on attack.
Definitely feels like there's a bit of a lack of confidence at the moment, probably after the Super Cup. And I don't know, maybe we're cruising a little bit, cruising on our laurels, maybe.
Are bogging you down now.
Well, you know, we've put the sixth one. We've started a new line with the sixth one, so which I thought it's quite cocky to go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 across the top and then put the sixth one sort of bottom left as if to say we'll fill these spaces in soon. Mm-hmm. And if we keep playing like this, we're not going to fill them in soon. But I mean, it's like one thing I said in my blog post was, in a way, it was a good result for both teams because we one, which is good, and we were awful. And sometimes it's fun. I mean, it's really fun to win against your local rivals when you're awful. But in a way, it's maybe good for you because you're like, you were felt kind of like you were cheated a little bit and like you were really unjustifiably beaten, which I think will be good sort of fuel for the rest of your season. And I was really disappointed in your new system. Because I heard it was going to be Barcelona-esque and I just thought that was going to be like old Onyeki style where you just pass the ball constantly across the midfield, just going nowhere, just on the centre line, just side to side, back to defence, midfield.
Simpsons at midfield just holds it.
But it was, you were disappointingly exciting, I have to say. But I think it's good for the league because I think there's a few teams who are going to be involved this year. So,
it was funny because you mentioned about us being surprising in attack, like, you know, the ex Avispa defender Emil, who's, you know, was a big popular guy, I guess you could say, given like how communicative he was on Twitter and whatnot. You know, he was actually excited to watch Albert's football because he was curious to see how he was going to implement it in the J League system. So, you know, I'm quite surprised that not only are other people excited about it, but actually that other players that either are part of the league or used to be a part of the league are interested to see how it turns out. You know, so we're thrilled by what we saw. I think I was surprised with his team selection. I think it was a little bit forced, you know, like starting Matsuki I thought was a big gamble, but he definitely played really well. Out of the three players that tested positive for COVID, we don't know who they were, you know, we can only assume, like, you know, Adalton, Morishige and Higashi are the three, because those guys would probably be in the 11 if they weren't you know, injured or otherwise.
I think we've got a couple of COVIDs, and almost certainly one of them is Tachibana Nada. I think because he was probably my pick for maybe our best player last year. And he's been completely absent. But then the weird thing was, Seko was on the bench in the first game and came on and didn't do any worse than anyone else. And then he disappeared from the lineup. And then it's like, oh, he's got it as well now. But then he's training today, apparently. So, and Tachibana's training again. So, I mean, I haven't got a clue what's going on, to be honest.
The clubs don't really give us any information on that stuff. Like, we just have to guess.
Yeah, they probably shouldn't as well. Because why would you want to tell people who's not going to play, right?
I think in our case, if Higashi were to be announced as one of the COVID positives, there'd be a lot of like, ha, 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 which I would justifiably join in on.
Anyway, well, I'm kind of interested. So Chanatip, right? He played both games. He was in the Super Cup, and I think he played 60 minutes, right? He got hooked at 60 minutes. But two different positions, if I'm not wrong. He's played over on the left side of attack, and then he was more of a number on Friday, right? How do you see him fitting into the team?
Not on the left.
Not on the left.
He played on the left the whole of the first half and didn't do much in the Super Cup. And then the second half, I think he was on for like 15, 20 minutes of the second half in. Yeah, I'm not au fait with the number eight position, but I guess that's like behind the strikers. Is it attacking midfield, kind of middly kind of thing? I don't know.
Yeah,
that's where he was anyway. He was more in midfield and had a bit more freedom to sort of do his thing. And that's where he started on, what day was it? Friday. Friday night J League, and he's definitely better there. But I mean, we've just got too many midfielders and forwards. It's and no defenders. Like, we need some balance. Convert Chanatip to a centre back. That's the solution. He's got the height.
I don't know if that'll work.
But yeah, he's
signed the Indonesian centre back or left back that Verdi just signed.
Well, we could do with
your popularity tenfold.
I believe the phrase is Tokyo is green, isn't it?
Oh, this is it.
Oh, well, that's.
I think it's an environmental policy,
Tokyo do something.
You know, the last time this was tried was when Tokyo was bidding for the 2020 Olympics. That whole Gundam thing, that Project Green in Odaiba. I don't know if any of you remember this, but there was a Gundam that was put up in Odaiba for Project Green, and the impact of it was put into a nice green area, but by the end of it, it was like a muddy mess because of how obvious the situation would unfold. So I'm not saying that Tokyo is going to be turning brown or any other kind of substance associated with brown, but
I remember the Gundam. I don't remember that project though.
I thought you were basically, I thought that was a comment on Verdi's potential season coming up.
Yeah, it is. It's hard to even say now because Tokyo Verdy have been down in J2 for so long. They're never coming back, probably. Our derby with them is pretty much dormant, but they are also a derby of a rival of Frontale, right? Because it used to be Kawasaki in the day, I think in the early, whatever it was, until 92, 93 or whatever. The trio of rivals we have.
Yeah, I haven't played them as long as I've been supporting them, I don't think. Okay. I mean, I certainly can't remember it anyway. So
we were set for an Emperor's Cup match with them, but that was 2020 and that got scrapped. They would have had to have beaten the local rival, but I mean, our 2021 Emperor's Cup wasn't that great. We lost to a university, so who are we to talk about that?
Yeah, every chance we'd have lost to them too, but yeah. But no, I mean, yeah, they are, I think they've just, getting popular down in Southeast Asia, which is pretty smart. I think what happened with them is that they've lost a lot of sponsorships over the year, like Coca-Cola back in the day. And I think Yomiuri, they have nothing to do with them anymore, right? So my prediction would be that they're pretty prime for some big investor to come in, probably buy them cheap, got presence in Southeast Asia, and then kind of build them up. So I wouldn't be surprised if you see that.
Are we talking about Tokyo or and Kawasaki, or are we talking about some green Nazis down the road?
We're just taking care of their Indonesian fan base, right? No one's talking for them online, so we've got to we'll help them out.
Fair enough.
No, hopefully they'll get back up and we get another derby.
I was gonna say, Neil, based off of the two games, then, you know, what is the final game of the season gonna look like for us? Are we both gonna be commiserating, like having a pint outside of 7-Eleven, or is it gonna be one of us is gonna be super thrilled, the other one's gonna be bitterly disappointed?
I mean, I don't do predictions. Although I did do one prediction of a starting lineup and I got it spot on. But then that's more just like, just don't change anything. That's how I get that prediction right. I don't know. I mean, the first two games have been so disappointing, I guess, apart from the result. I know this is terrible to hear someone come on and say, oh, it's such a terrible game and it was so bad that we won. And
the only thing I'm disappointed about is we did not have Nishimura as the ref last night, or on Friday night, sorry.
Well, I think we're all in agreement that the Kimura, who we did have, was equally shoddy. So, I mean, that does seem to be... I saw someone saying something on Twitter, I can't remember who it was, about how, because of the standard of refereeing has gone down, because we lost two good ones last year. And I thought, good riddance, Iemoto. Ever since, I mean, maybe you don't know my beef with him, but... He was traditionally a good ref for us, and that kind of word got round. And one year when we were in your stadium for the Clásico, when his name was announced, for some unknown reason, a certain section of the Frontale support enthusiastically clapped him, a little too enthusiastically, not politely, enthusiastically clapped him. And ever since then, every game we had with him, I feel like... He was trying to level things up to say, no, I'm, you know, they like me, but I'm not good to them. I'm bad to them.
Well, I was going to say, like, I mean, my take from Friday night is that, you know, if you're a Frontale fan, you're probably a little bit concerned, happy to get the win, but a bit concerned about how, you know, if you're going to get that another title. If you're a Tokyo fan, you're probably encouraged about how the season's going to pan out. But then after seeing, like, everybody else play on Saturday, I'm struggling to kind of see who, you know, if this keeps up. I mean, Reds lost as well, right, to Kyoto.
That was a shocker.
Yeah.
But I shouldn't say not too surprising. Kyoto are a surprise package, I would say.
Yeah. Marinos also not looking great. So it's only really Antlers who kind of stood out, I think. And that was a bit of an unfair advantage that they got, you know?
And we've all heard about them having loads of strikers and lots of attackers, but no defence. And right. I guess you don't need a big defence if you've got the other team's only got 10 men. And they had conceded before, hadn't they, already in that game when Gamba had 11. So fingers crossed they'll be rubbish because we're playing them next weekend. And that's a hell of a bus journey game.
That would be your good 40 minutes of football then, right? You're expecting 30 or 20. Oh, no, 30 minutes. 20 minutes.
Yeah, that's going to be a 30, yeah.
Yeah, this will be the 30 minutes. Well, you only need 30 minutes against them.
I'll go for, like, the last 10 of the first half and the first 20 of the second half. That's the 30 minutes I'd ideally like us to play well.
There you go. Well, I mean, Neil, you know, I'm really glad that you came on and we talked about a lot of various off-topic things as well as our own. as well as the games. But I think what we want to end it with is with Alex. You have some questions.
That's correct. I have two fun quiz Tamagawa classical questions for the
panel. Now, are you giving the answers here or are we gonna?
Well, if you check your line messages, I've already sent you. No, I'm only joking. Just two questions about the kind of historical questions about the Tamagawa classical. Should be very easy. Yeah, quick fire round. So first person to answer gets it. You can only have one answer, so, you know, be careful.
Oh, God.
Yeah. I'm not expecting to do well on this at all, honestly.
All right, well, the first one. Question number one. Which player crossed the Tamagawa Classico divide and then crossed back again once he...
Okubo.
Damn it. I had that.
Correct. So yeah, it was. Yes. Oh, Yoshito, right? Yoshito Walkie Ball.
Sorry, I'm clapping myself.
It was, yeah.
Went back 1 year later, one season. He did, it was a very poor season for FC Tokyo, to be fair. He was kind of up top on him and Peter Utaka, I think, were up like the partnership up front, very similar players. I think he did break double figures, about 11 goals, something like that. Yeah, and then after that, didn't like the. I think it was more to do
weren't
with.
Weren't those 11 goals over like 20 or 30 appearances or something?
Something like that, yeah. He actually scored against Frontale as well. That was his first goal.
Yeah. I gave him a bit of stick in that game, I have to admit.
Oh, I bet you did, yeah. Yeah, and I think he went back, and then after six months at Frontale, he went to Jubilo, right? And
Jubilo, and then
Verdi.
Verdi as well. So he's done everything to annoy us. He possibly could, right? yeah, fun fact about Yoshito Walkie Ball. I hope he's not listening to this, but he never won a major trophy in Japan, despite being the all-time top goal scorer of the J League.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was involved in the Frontale trophies. It was before that. I don't think he. Yeah, he didn't
get really?
A trophy. Yeah, it's quite astounding, right? He was part of the Wolfsburg team that won the Bundesliga when he was there. That was like 2011, something like that. I forget, I might be wrong. So he got his hands on that. How much he contributed, I don't know. But in Japan, no, amazingly, he didn't claim anything, sadly, for him. But he is the all-time top scorer, so he's got that.
And got a Guinness World Record now for that.
We're gonna see a certificate for that.
We'll try and get him in his book of world records at some point. Sorry about that.
I want to see the presentation.
Yeah. All right. Okay. So the next one. So of course, yeah, Frontale have quite an amazing 4 J League championships. So 2017, 18, 20, and 21. To Tokyo's 0, which is a bit sad. However, which team has more cups? And by the way, Neil, when we say cups, we're not talking Super Cup. We're talking.
I mean, that's obviously us.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't count that Mickey Mouse Cup that they won in 2020.
Which one?
The Emperor's Cup. You can't count that. You can't count that one. They won 2 games.
Well, anyway, you're right, Tom. You're right. You've got one right. Because, we've got more cups. We've got 3 League Cup and Emperor's Cup.
I didn't realize that was the question. I thought that was a preamble to the question. But fair enough, yeah. Fair enough.
Oh, I'll tell you what, we'll have to give him one there. You might have got him if you're the cotton dog.
Well, no. That's Thomas's point, definitely. Yeah.
All right. Oh man. Okay, Alex. Thank you for the questions.
Cool.
Phenomenal question.
It's a 1-1-1. It's a everybody's happy again.
Everybody's happy. We ended on a positive note.
Mm.
Neo, thanks for joining us today, mate. We appreciate it, and hopefully we'll have you back on. We'll obviously hope to see you at the end of the season. But yeah, I'm not going to wish you good luck for the season.
No, thank you. Then. I'd love to invite you on now, Frontale podcast, but we didn't get asked to do one. So.
Shade.
That's because they know that I can't keep up this level of high quality on a weekly weekly basis. I shine and then I go. This is it. Gonna have to lie down for about. Well, it's night time, so I can go to bed. Kind of don't have to just lie down.
If I remember correctly, I was regularly asking for you to be a guest on the J Talk pod to the point where Ben actually made a comment saying, Thomas, we can't request Neil on every week.
I think I've been banned from there now. I haven't been asked for a long time. And
all right. Let's get that fixed.
Nobody wants to hear what I have to say. I'm just upsetting people every week recently. With various
all in good fun, Neil. That's what
makes everything now, enjoyable.
Considering this week I'm on the Marinos one and the FC Tokyo one, nobody wants me on the other one as well. Yeah, it's too much.
I don't know where you're going with that one, mate, but on that we'll end it here. And thanks again for your time, and we appreciate you coming on to talk with us.
Yeah. Cheers, Neil. And I'll see you around the ground.
Cheers.
For a beer.
Yeah. See you guys soon. Yeah.